and then let's cultivate our motivation. Again, feeling part of this huge mass of sentient beings. All these beings who have been kind to us, upon whose efforts our life depends. All these sentient beings who want to be happy and not suffer as intensely as we do. And so since we have a precious human body, precious human life at this moment, with all the opportunities to practice the Dharma, then let's really do so, so we can be of great benefit to all these other living beings who have been so kind to us. The best way to do that is to attain realizations ourselves, so we have the full capability to guide them to full awakening. And then also on the path to do whatever we can to be of immediate or long-term benefit to other living beings. So with that kind of intention, then let's share the Dharma this morning. So, I just wanted to talk a little bit about criticism this morning. But just before that, there was one point that's quite important about anger that I haven't mentioned yet that needs to be mentioned, which is that anger is a mental factor that is based on exaggerating the bad qualities of someone or something. Okay? So anger is based on exaggeration. It's based on projection. It's based on misapprehension. Okay? So this is a very important point because when we're angry, and similarly when we're attached, we aren't seeing the object of our anger or the object of our attachment accurately. In the case of attachment, we're exaggerating its good qualities. In the case of anger, we're exaggerating or projecting bad qualities that aren't there. Okay. Now, when we're angry, do we feel like I am misapprehending anything and my mind is based on exaggeration and projection? No. When we're angry, the situation is very clear. I am right and you are wrong. I am seeing reality. You are mistaken. Okay? That's how our afflicted mind sees our anger. Yeah. We don't even realize that our anger is completely, you know, in English we say off the wall. It doesn't have to do with reality. Yeah. Because when we're angry, we're looking at that other person or we're looking at the situation. And there's some projection, some exaggeration. Yeah. The person says good morning to us in a way we don't like, and we start projecting all sorts of stuff on them. A person points out at work something that we forgot to do, and they're trying to help us, and we project harm. And we think, oh no, this is going to ruin my whole career. in a family, you know, one person says some small thing to the next person, instantaneously, you don't care about me. Yeah. And we get all upset. So, you know, it's really based on exaggeration and projection. We are not seeing reality, but we think we are. So this becomes a big problem for us because we are so certain that what our mind is projecting is correct. In America, we have the idea of a boogeyman. This is what you frighten little children by, that there's some nasty man who's going to sleep under your bed and, you know, give you bad dreams or something like that. Do you have that idea in Italy?
We call the black man.
The black man? Okay. Well, we call him the boogeyman. Okay. So we make up this idea of a boogeyman, and then we scare the children with it. Yeah, if you don't brush your teeth and wash behind your ears and do your homework, the boogeyman's going to come and get you. Yeah. And the child believes that's true and gets afraid. Okay. When we are angry, we are believing in a boogeyman that we invented. And we've projected that boogeyman on the person that we happen to be angry at. Oh, there's this horrible person. They're going to come and get me. They're threatening me. They're going to ruin my reputation. My whole life is going to be in shatters. This is terrible. I've got to come to my own defense and get that person. And I'm going to punch him in the nose. I'm going to talk behind his back. I'm going to swear at him and humiliate him until he stops because he is of great danger to my welfare. And it's just some guy who wants to be happy and doesn't want to suffer. Okay? So it's very important when we get angry to be aware, I am not perceiving reality at this moment. Now you might say, but, I know this person has a bad intention towards me. I know it. Oh, so you have clairvoyant powers? You can read their mind? No, but I can tell from the way they act. They really want to inflict harm on me. But again, isn't it that this is a tragic situation of somebody who wants happiness and is very confused about how to create the causes of happiness? And so they're acting this way. Isn't it a tragic situation of somebody who has unmet needs, who's trying to say please, but they say it as a jackal? But look, he actually did harm me. He told my boss lies about what I did. And as a result of that, I didn't get the promotion. So why do you need to be mad at him? Because he told lies to your boss. Yeah. Why is that a good reason to be mad at somebody? Yeah? Why? Why do you need to be mad at somebody who tells lies to your boss so you didn't get the promotion? That person actually, because you didn't get the promotion, saved you from working 16-hour days. They saved you from being stressed out and having no time to spend with your family. you should go to them and say thank you so much. Yeah? That person is kinder to you than the Buddha because they're giving you the opportunity to practice fortitude and compassion. Yeah, remember what Rinpoche told me? You need that person. Otherwise, you can't practice fortitude and compassion fully. So we should go to them, thank you so much. You're my object of fortitude. Oh, what do you mean I'm your object of fortitude? I haven't done anything wrong. You've done everything wrong. See, that's why you're my object of fortitude, practicing fortitude. Okay. So it's very interesting, you know, when we're getting angry, to ask ourselves, why am I angry? I find this very helpful, yeah? Some incidents that happen with somebody, and I'm getting angry. And then I say, okay, children, why are you angry? Well, because he said this and this and this and this. Yes, he may have said that, but why are you angry? Because he did that and that and that, and he really intends to hurt me. Well, that may or may not be true, but why are you angry? Because if he does that, he's going to destroy my whole life and I'm going to be dead. Really? Yeah. What is worse, that you die in anger or that you die in peace? If your death is inevitable, which way do you want to die? Yeah. And to keep asking myself, why do I need to be angry? And it always boils down to, I need something. I want something from that person, and I'm not getting it. Because I really want that person to think well of me. I really want to connect to that person. I want respect. I want this or that. And they're not giving me what I want. So I'm mad. But really, do I have to get mad simply because I'm not getting what I want? Isn't that what I've done since I've been 2 years old? Yeah? Isn't that what we've done since we've been 2 years old? Every time we don't get what we want, we get angry. And we throw our little temper tantrum that in my case was recorded on 9mm family photographs. I was so cute. Yeah, this little four-year-old who couldn't get her skates on. throwing my shoes away. Then I'm mad at my parents because they're sitting there with the camera. You know, so as adults, we do the same thing. We just do it in a more sophisticated manner. So it doesn't look like we're children, but inside the mental state is the same. Yeah, isn't it? Mental state's the same. But, you know, why do we really need to get angry? We're so unhappy when we're angry. Anger is self-torture. Holding grudges is the best kind of self-torture if you really want to make yourself miserable. Yeah. If you really want to make yourself unhappy, hold a grudge against someone else. A grudge is when you're mad at them and you feed that anger so that it lasts a long time and you keep thinking of how you're going to get even. Yeah. And as I've mentioned before, we can hold grudges for years and decades. my family is expert in this. Yeah. And among siblings, in my parents' generation, some of them had quarrels. Even when my uncle was dying and his children called his sisters and said, do you want to speak to your brother before he dies? They said, no. Yeah. See, I told you, my family champion in this kind of things. For what purpose? How does that create human happiness? Yeah. This is why when Yugoslavia split up, everybody was killing each other. Because they all were holding grudges about things that happened 300 years ago when none of them were alive. Isn't it? You know? Now, again, every year the topic of the Armenian genocide comes up. And Turkey refuses to acknowledge it. Yeah. 100 years ago this happened. And everybody's still suffering, although they weren't alive 100 years ago. And maybe the people who are Armenians today, were Turks in the Ottoman Empire 100 years ago. And maybe the people who were the Turks 100 years ago were reborn as the Armenians now. And yet, still at each other. Yeah? Same things with the Israelis and the Arabs. Same things. You know? Your ancestors did this to us how many hundreds of years ago, therefore, we must hate you. And this is happening on both sides. Yeah? We weren't even alive then. And yet our parents tell us we need to hate certain people. This is all made up by the human conceptual mind. Yeah, and it's fantastic self-torture. Yeah, great way to make yourself unhappy. Yeah, so you can really see how we human beings, because of our ignorance, yeah, we want happiness and we create the causes of suffering. Again and again and again. And that is really sad. Yeah. In the U.S., Arkansas, you may have heard, has wanted to execute 8 people in a 10-day period. So some of them have, the court has stopped it. But yesterday they executed 2 more people within 3 hours of each other. And the governor and the lieutenant general in the state is saying now justice has been served. Now those families can be happy. Yeah, this is a big lie because the politicians use the victim's family as a reason, saying the victim's family wants the perpetrator of the harm killed because that will make them feel justice has been done. So they use the family and talk about the family like that. As soon as the execution has happened, they completely ignore the family. Do you think seeing your relative's murderer executed is going to heal your loss of the person you loved? No, of course it's not. Yeah, so the politicians are using that family as an excuse and then going, now justice has been served. Aren't we wonderful? So they're those politicians thinking that what they're doing is creating the cause of happiness for themselves by being tough on crime and an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth kind of stuff. And actually what they're doing is they're creating the cause for themselves to be born in the hell realms. That's actually what all these death, you know, the people who like the death penalty, that's all they're doing is creating the causes for their own bad rebirth. But in their confusion, they think what they're doing is justice and the cause of happiness. It's not. You know? Same thing with ISIS. Let's kill the infidels. Then we'll be reborn in heaven. What? This is exactly the same thing as the Christians said during the Crusades. Same thing. Let's kill the infidels and we'll be reborn in heaven. Yeah, doesn't work. Killing is not the cause of a good rebirth. Okay? So why do we need to get mad at people who are basically harming themselves? Yeah, harming themselves in the long term. Yeah, have unmet needs in the short term. And then can you really go to sleep peacefully at night? Yeah, you just executed people. Can you sleep well that night? Yeah. I don't think so. Okay, so this is why we need to check our anger, you know, and really see that it's not seeing the situation correctly. And that anger is going to lead us to do actions that we're going to be the primary victim of suffering due to those actions in the long term. Yeah. One time I was on pilgrimage in China with some friends, and we were at one tea stall out somewhere in the middle of nowhere. And there was a picture of the Gang of Four on the walls, yeah? So the Gang of Four, they were the big ones who carried out the Cultural Revolution, which killed millions of people in China. And one of my friends commented, my Chinese friends, that those people were so famous and had so much power when they were alive. And now they're all probably in the hell realm. Yeah. So you can have lots of power, lots of acclaim as a human being. As soon as you die, where is that? Even they write you glorious obituaries about how wonderful you were. You're dead and you can't read them. And you may be in a horrible rebirth while everybody else on planet Earth is saying how wonderful you are. Does all their praise help you when you're in a bad rebirth? Yeah. Doesn't do you any good at all. So being attached to praise is really useless. Really useless. Doesn't do us any good. Okay, so these are some ways to think to help us reduce our anger. Yeah? Because if you really think like this and you see the disadvantages of anger, then it goes away. Another technique for dealing with anger is to ask ourselves if what the other person said is true or not true. Okay. So somebody comes and says, you know, children, you did this and that and this and that and da 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 da. You know, and I'm so disappointed in you, and you just blew the whole thing, and you're worthless. Okay, so then I need to check. Did I do that? Yeah, whatever the other person's saying I did I do that? Well, if I did do that, and if I did it with a corrupt motivation, then what they're saying is true. Forget the tone of their voice. Forget the volume of their voice. What they said is true. And I have to acknowledge it. Because it's true, everybody knows it. It's like somebody saying you have a nose on your face. What are you going to do? Say, no, I don't. Everybody knows you do. So if we made a mistake and somebody comments on it, what's the use of getting defensive and saying, no, we didn't do it? It's better to say, yes, I did it. I regret it. Thank you for pointing that out to me, because now I can change my ways. Because I'm always saying I want to improve myself, and you're pointing out to me something I can do to improve myself. Again, forget the tone of voice. Forget the volume of the voice. You know, there's something we can learn. On the other hand, if what the person is saying is not true, whatever they're saying we did is not true, we didn't do that, or we didn't do it with the motivation they're accusing us of having, again, why be angry? Because what they say is not true. It's like people saying you have horns on your head. You check. No horns. You know, they're mistaken. They just need good information. Yeah? So again, why get angry? So you see, either way, if what they accuse us of doing is true, no reason to get angry, because it's true. If what they accuse us of is not true, no reason to get angry, because it's not true. They just need better information. Either way, why get angry when we're criticized? Yeah, if you really look at it closely, yeah, spend some time in your meditation really thinking about all these examples and all these arguments. Yeah, really think about them. And then, you know, it becomes obvious how anger is useless. Okay, so all that time when I was living here with Sam and his cohorts, getting angry so much, I just wasted so much time being angry. Yeah? Because most of what they said was not true. There was no reason for me to get angry. Yeah? What they were saying was based on miscommunication or misunderstanding. And the part that was true, then I had to own up to it. Yeah. But instead, my afflicted mind made me miserable by getting angry at them. Yeah. So, you know, especially when you look back at things you did previous years, yeah, do you feel the same kind of anger as you did then? If you're holding a grudge, you do. That's why I say it's really excellent self-torture to hold a grudge. But most of the time, you know, when we look back at the things we were upset about in the past, are any of them really that critically important to us now? No. Yeah? They're in the past. They're not happening. Why do we keep reliving them? Now, somebody's going to say, but I was abused as a child. Yeah? I suffered very severe abuse as a child. Same thing. Yeah? Whatever somebody did to you when you were a kid, they did once or twice or whatever. Every time we remember it, we do it again to ourselves. That abuse is no longer happening. That abuse is no indication of your being unworthy or defective. It's simply somebody else acting out their own confusion. And it's not happening now. It is not happening now. Why are we hanging on to it? Yeah, it happened before. What can we learn from that situation? Learn what you can learn. Put the thing down. Go forward in your life with confidence and compassion. Yeah? Why sit there and say to yourself, I was abused, I was abused. You take out your mala. I was abused, I was abused, I was sexually abused, I was sexually abused, I was emotionally abused, I was emotionally, I was physically abused, I was physically abused. I'm defective goods, I'm worthless, these people don't respect me, my whole life is a tragedy. Ever since I was a kid, people took advantage of me, my parents didn't love me, actually nobody loved me. This whole world is horrible. I'd have no source of happiness. I'm so stupid. Everything goes wrong in my life. As my mother would say, you want a trophy? I've always thought I should write a book about the sayings of my mother. She had some good ones. You know, every time I would complain and, you know, just on and on and on. You want a trophy? Yeah? The person who has suffered the most in the whole wide world. Me! Yeah, then I can show my trophy to everybody. That becomes my new identity. Yeah? How do I present myself to others? I don't present myself as a person who has the Buddha nature. I don't present myself as a person who has a precious human life, who has the opportunity to do incredible, marvelous things in life. I present myself as an abused person who is defective, who is depressed my whole life, who you should definitely feel sorry for. That is your role, to feel sorry for me and to give me everything I want because I am such a pathetic case because the world has treated me so awful. Yeah? My mother also used to call me Sarah Bernhardt. Yeah, she was an actress in the silent films who was very dramatic. So every time I didn't like something or I was upset, you know, this was like everybody had to know about it because it was a national catastrophe. Yeah. My unhappiness, you know, forget the people getting killed in Syria. They're, you know, what they're going through doesn't matter. Somebody criticized me today. That's much more important. What do we think about all day? Do you worry about the people in Syria whose homes are getting bombed? Whose families are getting killed? Or what do we go around and around about every day? Somebody criticized me. The person I love didn't smile at me today. That's what we go round and around and around. Somebody got something I didn't get. I should have gotten it. Life is so unfair. That occupies our mind much more than what's happening in Syria. But who's really suffering more? When I think of what's going on in Syria, I cannot imagine what it's like being there. I cannot imagine what those people are going through. Yeah. And yet, our self-centered thought thinks that our suffering is the biggest one. That's why the self-centered thought is a liar. Okay? If you want to call somebody a liar, call your self-centered thought a liar, because that's what it is. Okay.